You're listening to the sermon podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.
Let's pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. If you are looking for unsolicited advice on how to be more in tune with yourself, on how to know yourself better, and how to be the best person that you can be, the place that you might not think to go would be the NFL, the National Football League. But let me tell you, there are opinions out there that reside within the NFL from some players that want to tell you about these things. And I like the NFL, don't get me wrong. I like the playoffs, that's one I watch typically. I can't do the whole season. But, and which is funny, because I really like baseball, and that's like 120 odd games, but... The Pittsburgh Steelers have this quarterback. His name is Aaron Rodgers, this controversial figure. Some of you are looking towards the door right now as I'm talking about him. But he's really into wellness stuff, kind of dispensing advice on how to live better. And he is at the center of some of these interviews and conversations. And Aaron Rodgers is known better for his throwing arm than his opinions on how to be healthy. But let me just say a couple things that are echoed in other spheres. But this one in particular just is so, I don't know, it just stands out to me. He talks about how regularly he meditates. He goes on yoga retreats. He heralds, I have this in here, psilocybin, and drugs. I was trying to like figure out, okay, I've got my notes. I did not edit these before getting here. Yeah, he thinks and says that these things have led him, these retreats with the help of other things, have helped him kind of open up his mind to be a healthier person, to lose his fear of death, to... really just be a healthier individual. And I'm not knocking well, I can't say do drugs from the pulpit, so don't. But I can just talk about the type of people that have an experience and then they want to tell you about it. They want to tell you about something that has happened to them, that has been good for them, that has made them feel things that they didn't feel before, that has made them be able to put away some sense of the darkness, of the... that shadow that exists that we are afraid of, it's kind of opened them up to other things. It has allowed them to quiet the voices around them. On the other end of the spectrum, there is a movie that came out in 2020. It's called The Sound of Metal. It's one of my, I like this movie a lot. Ruben is played by Riz Ahmed. He's this main character. He's been a drummer in a heavy metal band for years and years and years. And he is his life is his music. He lives in this kind of grungy RV. He plays with his girlfriend, but he starts to lose his hearing, the thing that he needs the most for the thing that he loves. Ruben is in recovery. He's this former addict. And the whole movie, as it progresses, he's losing his hearing. He's considering expensive cochlear implants. He wants really badly to get his hearing back because as his hearing goes away, his life that has been full of noise, full of sound, full of things that the noise has been keeping out what he doesn't want to look at is getting quieter. And at one point, he doesn't want to be left alone with his thoughts. And at one point in the film, someone asks him, have you thought about using since you've lost your hearing? And his response is only, today is not a good day. He, Ruben, and others, Aaron Rodgers or anyone else, I'd say that they are looking, and we are looking for some kind of clarity in life. We are looking for ways in which this world talks to us and talks around us for those things to be either quieter or louder, but typically quieter. We want some clarity. We want a way through life, a path, a clear path to the next thing, to the new thing, to something that is going to quiet those voices inside us that don't always take us to the best of places. And you might know this from just a Google search. I don't know about you, but when I start to feel ill or when my daughter starts to feel ill, I'll type it into Google. And then I'm on like a WebMD trail and I'm like, I've got this brain disease for sure. I have a parasite in my brain and it's killing me. But we want clarity. We want surety. We want to be able to know who to trust, who will be there for us. We want to know when to change. When should I leave this job? When should I talk to my family about this thing at the right time? When should I find that person? We want to know who the right people are. We want to know if we're in the right place. And this clarity, this hope for clarity, might be what, it brings a lot of people to church. And maybe you have heard about that, and that's what brought you today. That you've heard from somebody about St. Albans or about something that Aaron, not I, have said, and you are here to come in and listen a little more. Because if you're not hearing advertisements every single day, if you're not hearing push notifications every single hour about how you could be doing more or about how you need to remind yourself about, you get a tailored email for your shopping preferences. We have these things that are talking to us that are all around us all the time. And what some people say when you come here is that those things can be quiet and we can have some rest, that we can have some relief. And we see a little bit of that today in the gospel reading. Not because Andrew and Peter and John the Baptist have iPhones that are constantly going off, but because of where they live and how they inhabit this story. Jesus starts his ministry. He's just been baptized, which we celebrated in the church calendar last week. And there are a lot of Johns that I'm going to say right now, so let me kind of set the playing field for you. We have John, the gospel author, this man who was a disciple of Jesus. And in this passage today, he's talking about John, the Baptist, the baptizer, Jesus' cousin, who just baptized Jesus the moment before. John the Baptist is this sticky man who lives out in the, he eats honey and locust and wears camel fur. And he's just kind of taken his life to the extreme to follow God. He has gone to the desert to try to quiet things. I don't know what he's doing out in the desert. Maybe Aaron Rodgers does, but he's out there in the desert hanging out, and he has removed himself from society and from the things and from the pressures that are around. He has followers too. And when immediately after his baptism, John the Baptist says this about Jesus: "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." So that's kind of the first section. And then the next day, it says, he says the same thing again around other people, around some of John the Baptist's followers. "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And they hear him this time, and they start to follow him. They start to, in this image that I'm imagining, Jesus is walking, and they're a little stalkery as they're following him, because he turns around, and he basically says, "What are you doing? Why are you following me around?" And they said, "Well, teacher, we just wanted to know where you were staying." Which, these are guys who also were living out with John in the desert. These were radical guys. They also wanted to keep the world out. And they hear that maybe this is the person who will finally help this come to completion. And instead of asking him about the things they really want to ask him about, they ask about some small talk instead. But Jesus turns, and he says to them, "Come and see." Come and see, he says. This compelling thing that Jesus says, "Come and see." Now, for the preacher, this "come and see" when we get to this verse is now a good time for me to tell you that you need to go out and also bring people to tell them to come and see what's happening here. But that's not what the message is or should be for this passage. Because Jesus doesn't promise clarity to Andrew. He doesn't promise this, all of the things that we've talked about. He doesn't say that all the his troubles will go away. He doesn't say that, his troubles increased. Following Jesus was not a good thing to do early on. I mean, they all died. I think you know that, but they all like died horrible deaths. He doesn't make a promise that their lives will change, that they'll influence others, that they will heal the inner child, that they will lose their joint pain. None of these things he says to them. He says, "What are you looking for? Come and see." Jesus is compelling enough. Jesus is compelling enough to have brought you here today, maybe. come and see. The come and see that we hear is not the ask of you, but it is the ask that Jesus says that isn't really even an ask. It's this thing where God is coming closer to us by invitation. It's an invitation, not a request. There is a sense of call here. Jesus does say to his disciples, follow me, not long after this passage. But what we hear God saying now is, come and see. What are you looking for? Do you want to be made well? Follow me. And we hear this call all the time. We hear it in our services of baptism, the way that God has come to dwell among us. We hear about it in the prayers at this holy table, at the Eucharist, the promises that Christ has made to us. We hear it through our children, through our friends, through the people that remind us that God is not out to get us, but that God is on your side. And there is this deep call to new life and to love and to care. This call is similar to the one that we heard in the 1 Corinthians reading, that God is faithful. Or said another way, God makes good on the promises of grace, the promises of mercy, the promises of peace, the promises of being close to you through who Jesus is. Not a promise that you will always get the perfect parking spot at HEB. Not a promise of one of these kind of silly things, but this deep call that rings out softly, it rings out constantly, which might have brought you here. There's this old bishop in North Africa back way back when, St. Augustine, and he wrote that God meets me wherever I go. He can't read the Old Testament without finding Jesus. He can't walk around the town that he lives in without finding Jesus. Christ meets me everywhere I go. Christ's call is not a call to fear, but an invitation. An invitation where we hear Christ say, I know you, and I'm meeting you where you are at. I'm calling to you. I'm calling to tell you that someone that loves you wants to forgive you. I am calling to tell you that I know your name and that I am with you and that I forgive you for the thing that you can't even forgive yourself for. Christ's call is not this distant thing, but it is close. It is here. It is present. It's not always miraculous and it's not extraordinary typically, but it is constant. There are enough calls in our world. There are enough notifications in our world. There are enough ways in which the world makes us kind of feel tight. We have enough of that. I find myself often like Reuben from the movie. Probably because taking wellness advice from millionaires is not always like what I do, but I find myself more resonating with Reuben in this way. I am typically trying to desperately fill my head with noise, unsure of what I'm going to hear, what's going to bubble up in the silence. That's what brought John and what brought those early Christian monastics way out into the desert so they could pray and so they could be quiet, not because they wanted to hurt themselves or do anything like that, but because they wanted those things that are deep within us that do bubble up in the silence to go away. So, we find that in this stillness, that in this stillness of spirit that can come through prayer, we are embraced by Christ, and we see it in the gospel passage, that we are seen, that we are told there is a way to peace. All through our life, all through your life, Jesus is calling to us, to you. He is calling Matthew when he is at his desk, this tax collector. He called Amos, the prophet who was watching in the fields. He called Paul while he was on the highway. He called St. Alban when he was harboring a priest from the authorities. He called Martin Luther King Jr. to preach a word of renewal and of hope. God steps into our lives. The biggest way that God does this is through Jesus Christ, through Jesus becoming a human, appearing before us, revealing himself to us. And where we might step out of obligation, where we might step out of fear or anxiety, God steps out of love. God steps out of mercy. God steps out of hope. So come and see what God is doing. Come and see how close he is to us, to you, to y'all. Come and see. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the sermon podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.